Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's Wednesday on Sports Time Radio. That's right. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Since it is Wednesday, the new blog did go up this morning, so swing on over there, check that out when you get the chance. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E's.
So, you know, I know there's a couple things we want to get into, but Dan, I had a question I'm hoping you can answer, because for the life of me, I haven't really been able to figure this one out. You know, we've got, you know, the NBA draft coming up, obviously, and, you know, all these guys declared, I think I saw they had a record number of guys declare for the draft. So I was kind of like, wow, okay, this is going to be interesting. But, you know, of course, they have the option to withdraw from the draft and return to school. But what I don't understand, Dan, is how do they make up all the work they missed while they were preparing for the NBA draft?
What, for school?
Yeah, because, you know, some of these guys have been out of school since probably, well, you know, maybe, you know, maybe before that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you would think they would have kind of stayed down there and went to class.
Yeah, I think we know better than that, though, right?
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
So,
I
mean, somebody go to class for them?
Yeah, exactly. Set up the laptop and, you know, stream them in, you know, whatever. I mean, school and most colleges should be wrapping up right now, or could have wrapped up like 2 weeks ago. No.
Yeah, you know, I know they're getting pretty close to being done. I mean, do they have to make it up in the summer? I mean, I would assume they would at least want to pretend that these guys are academically eligible. You know, maybe they don't and they just don't care, but. Yeah, I was just a little curious. You know, it just seemed confusing because it's like, yeah, well, you know, he's withdrawn his name and he's returning to school. Okay, well, that's cool, but he just missed, you know, 2 months of school, 3 months of school. How does he make that work up? Or does he make that work up? Do they just allow him to, you know, move on?
You have a withdrawal period from class. So, I mean, March Madness started, and they were thinking about, you know, they're talking to agents, or so to speak. You know, most of these guys are on scholarships, are they not? So it's not like they have to pay for anything. So withdrawal would have been in March. You could just withdraw from class and say you're coming back.
Yeah, but then wouldn't you be ineligible then for the next semester?
No.
You wouldn't have a grade point average, right? Yeah, but I mean, you wouldn't have a grade point average or anything, right? I mean, you know, I mean, because would it be almost like you dropped out and then re-enrolled?
No, you can't do that. They don't do that. You would just have W's. W's don't count for anything. But the W's.
I know these top guys haven't been going to class anyways. I mean, I don't honestly believe, you know, you can go back and look, and I know there's still the scandal in North Carolina that's been brushed under the table, where one of their top players came out and admitted you know, all his grades were fake and he never did anything of this. And oddly, it just went away very quickly. So,
because no one really cares.
Yeah. You know, well, you know, I mean, there should be people who cared. I mean, you're supposed to be going to school to get an education, you know, because not, you know, we all know not everybody makes it in the NBA. You know, you need to have that fallback plan, and you know, that would be a way to get it.
They're not there to get an education. They're there to play basketball.
Yeah, you know, I know. It's just, you know, to me, it's just sad. I mean, I get it, and especially now with this one and done rule. I mean, college basketball is just a huge joke. I know why they did it, because guys going straight to the NBA was killing the college game, and the NBA and the NCAA work together, and the basketball, it's almost literally their minor league feeder system. So, you know, they had to come up with a way to get kids to go back to college at least for a year. But, yeah, you know, it seemed weird to me when I kept saying, well, you know, he's going to withdraw and go back to school. Like, okay, great. He's been out of school. You know, like, all right, whatever. You know, I just kind of made me chuckle. But that was just my confusion when I saw it. But hopefully we're a little more prepared today, and you have your fantasy players of the week from last week.
Yeah, I emailed you.
Well, yeah, I know, but I kind of like to let you reveal them. You know, I mean,
yeah,
they're your players after all, right?
Yeah, well, I pretty much went with Corey Dickerson for, you know, the hitting. I think it's 5 home runs and 9 RBIs really kind of pushed him over the edge. You know, if you're looking for someone a little stronger, as far as Yahoo goes, I think Wellington Castillo may have been, you know, kind of a runner-up right there, simply for the fact that all the putouts that he had. But then again, even Paul Goldschmidt right there, but I don't think he put up enough, you know, he didn't have enough hits, home runs and RBIs to kind of put him over the edge. Another one who was, you know, my third one who was really strong in the running for Yahoo would have been Chris Davis. That's, you know, one thing I realized you needed after the fact was, that was one of the reasons I wanted to make that Will Myers deal with you. Just consistently playing first base, he was adding up the putouts for me. And then when it came to pitching, I don't know who the pitcher is. But, you know, for last week, he was by far, you know, pitched the most next to Jose Quintana. He was definitely a runner-up with 15 innings and 12 strikeouts, but he didn't get a win last week. This is why this guy got the up on him with 1 win and 16 strikeouts. And with, you know, only 3 earned runs for Quintana, gave up that one extra one. Unfortunately, when I did my screenshot Sunday morning, I scrolled up just a tad bit too far where I cut off whoever it is. I don't know if it's a Giant. Is it the shirt there looks a little orange? The undershirt? Yeah, he had 2 quality shirts for you. Only 1 win. It looked surprisingly when I was going, whoever I picked. He had 2 quality starts, 14 innings pitched, 1 win, only 3 earned runs.
We still don't know.
No, I told you. I sent you the picture. I have no clue who that was.
So, yeah, I know. Well, I couldn't read it. It was...
Well, there's nothing to read.
Yeah.
You can't read his name because I scrolled up too far and cut off his picture and his name completely.
Right, but, you know. How was I supposed to know who he was?
Well, that's why I'm saying I don't know who it was.
Well, you know,
and
you could have went back and looked.
But the week has started over again. I don't know who it would have been.
So, you know.
You forget when they only do 7 days. Now it would go from, you know, Wednesday to Wednesday. I didn't realize that until this morning when I was looking at it. Changes the stats completely, so I have no clue who did what.
Oh. All right. So I guess we have no picture.
Yeah.
We have no picture this week. Oh.
Well, we do. I just don't know who he is. Sadly, MLB doesn't touch your date range. You know?
All right, but anyways, you got a good start out of Matt Shoemaker last night, even on the road, which was nice to see. You know, his splits are you know, really horrible, but it worked out for you. On the plus side, the lineup I ran out yesterday put up a 180.4 points. Of course, the John Lester complete game helped out quite a bit, and you know, the key to these things, Dan, I always tell people, and part of the reason we try to break stuff down on Sunday so much is, you know, obviously I spent over 10 grand on Lester, so I needed to save some money. I decided to save it at catcher on Andrew Knapp of the Phillies for $2,100. He went out and scored 21.7 points for me. So...
Yeah, well, in the lineup,
that's the thing.
I was 883rd out of, like, what was the number? Out of 6,500. I mean, you know, where I'm ranking is solid. It's just, you know, unfortunately, I'm not getting in the money. Yan Gomes, you know, was a good pick for me with a home run at RBI. Paul Goldschmidt, because I figured he's going against the White Sox. But sadly, former Cub Chris Coughlin couldn't do anything against Milwaukee. Josh Harrison, which drives me nuts that they call him Jay Hay in Pittsburgh broadcast, if it would actually be Jay Ha, being as his, or Jay Har, being as there's no Hay in his name, like Hay Word. But, you know, the real kicker was the fact that the Yankees didn't produce, and Didi Gregorius didn't get any points last night. My biggest pick besides Shoemaker, I don't know if maybe this would have helped if you would have got him in your lineup, with Conforto. He had two home runs, he got four RBIs.
The weird part is I scored 183 points, and, you know, everybody else had big nights, so at least I got my money back. You know, I picked up the $1.80 winning. I fell into that category towards the bottom. So, you know, at least I made 80 cents on my dollar. But when I saw the score, I thought, oh, okay, cool. I'm going to finish, you know, decently here. But I guess everybody had the same damn idea I did. And then, I built two late-night lineups, one around Kershaw and one around Lance Lynn. They both pitched fantastic, and neither got the decision. So neither of those lineups cashed. And my Dexter Fowler theory, he was actually 20 for 50 against Kershaw going into last night. He went 0-for-5 with a strikeout, so that didn't work. But I pieced together something for tonight, and I was having a tough time deciding on a starting pitcher, so I went with Mr. Fantasy Strategy, and I looked at he's really into this site called Odd Shark, and they literally make run predictions on who's going to score what. And I was quite surprised, but they have the Detroit Tigers as the lowest scoring team in tonight's game. So they're playing the Astros. So I put Charlie Morton in my lineup as my pitcher for 8,300. You know, I was kind of like, okay, I'll give this a shot and see, you know, if the site is right. Obviously, we can check it out tomorrow. Evan Gattis is my catcher. He's 3,200. I'm going to go ahead and take a chance on Sam Travis. He's making his major league debut for the Red Sox tonight. He's only going to cost me $2,000 at first base. I plugged Ian Happ at second for $3,500. Nolan Arenado at third for $4,200. Alcides Escobar at short for $2,200. And then my outfield is Mike Trout for $5,100. Ender Encarnacion for $3,300. And Jacoby Ellsbury for $3,200. So we'll see. You know, I've been on a bit of a hot streak here, so I'm hoping, you know, it carries over and I can I can pick something up here.
Now, before I tell you my lineup, I just wanted to touch on this real quick. Were you surprised when you woke up this morning and John Lester threw a complete game? I mean, I don't know how many hits he gave up, but he gave up a run or two, and, you know, God forbid you give up anything in today's game. And, I mean, we both know Joe's been a little jumpy when it comes to his starting pitchers. Maybe he feels that the guys have warmed up, so to speak, with having almost 2 months of play under his belt. But, I mean, I was sitting there watching it, and I just couldn't actually believe that John Lester pitched a complete game because, I mean, today's coaches, they just don't allow it to happen anymore.
Yeah, you know, I think it works out because Lester's a guy he trusts. But yeah, I was hugely shocked. I was even telling Schottberg Stu that my first email to him this morning was, yeah, I was totally surprised that Lester ended up pitching the entire game. I thought for sure, you know, he would, you know, go six or seven. I know he was rolling along and his pitch count was really good. But yeah, I was literally just shocked. I was like, wow, he pitched the whole game. So
I will say I was right on one thing. I did call the innings. I was reading his blog earlier. I did call the innings on Matt Harvey. I believe I said five or, you know, five.
Yeah.
I don't think he would go past the fifth inning. But anyway, getting back into FanDuel, if you're at my experience level, which is intermediate, no longer beginner. I lost my status because I last year did too many 50-50s, taking Mr. Fantasy as advice, and I won too much money. You know, between you and Mr. Fantasy, I apparently won too much, so it took me out of beginner. But, you know, I had to do it. They're down in Texas, so I had to go with Chris Sale, spend all my money there, so it's a little rougher to put together a lineup. But I figured with Matt Moore on the mound here in Chicago, and they played last night, it seems like, you know, this one baffled me. On Saturday when I went to watch the game, I was laying around all day, I wanted to watch the game, and they called it, despite the fact that it only rained in the morning and never rained again. That yesterday was pretty crappy, but you've got to imagine the series is different when you've got the Cubs or the Giants in town as opposed to the Brewers. The proximity and the amount of times they meet up, I guess, makes a difference. But I figured with Matt Moore in town, I'd go with Montero tonight. Schwarb is out, but he doesn't catch. With, you know, one of my guys in the yearly who isn't performing too well, I'm taking John Jaso at first, another one to save some money against Tijeron, who is almost a 5.5 ERA. And then I went with Cesar Hernandez from Philadelphia. I'm hoping, you know, right under 3,000, hoping going up against Tyler Chatwood, who has a really high ERA, will help him out batting first. And then I took a swing on him again because I'm waiting for him to pay off for me finally, is Anthony Rendon at third. Hopefully another Cub will score for me tonight with Addison Russell, who, you know, it's either going to be I score zeros on all my Cubs. That's what usually happens. Pretty much my highest paid guy right now, my thought was he was good, maybe down in Tampa without, you know, any restrictions with the weather, would be leading off for the Angels and Cameron Maben, who's been kind of on a little streak right now with fantasy points. I'm hoping taking number, you know, in the second spot, batting for the Cubs, Albert Almora does a little something tonight. And then I went with you with Ender Inciarte for the hell of it. I thought maybe he could produce, but I'm hoping to just maybe win a buck.
So, yeah, well, you know, I'm trying. I understand the Mr. Fantasy strategy of wanting guys at the top of the order. So I am trying to plug in guys who are up there and, you know, are going to get the at bats, because sometimes that extra at bat can really, really help you in the right situation. So, you know, I will, you know, take the guy who's batting second or third or whatever over the guy who's, you know, way down in the order, unless of course I have to, you know, if I don't have a choice and, you know, this is the guy I've got to go with just for money purposes. But yeah, I get his theory there. I just not sure if I'm totally in agreement with it, but you know, like I said, I understand the theory.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them so much where they're batting as opposed to who, you know, because once they took Chris Sale, my average amount I had to spend on the guy was $3,000. So I was trying to, you know, lean myself out and just, you know, try to pick guys that I, you know, I'm looking at past performance the last, I think that FanDuel puts the last 5 days. And, you know, seeing guys who seem to perform pretty well. And also looking at their pitcher and that pitcher's ERA. Because as much as you'd like to think that pitchers go up and down, I don't know. I've got the feeling, not that I got the feeling, I over the years watching the game just in general and knowing the game, I feel like regardless of what you may think or you're hoping for a jump or a spike, that pitchers stay pretty consistent. And especially with today, knowing how managers, you know, take the game, some of these guys aren't going to make it past the fifth inning anymore. Especially if they have higher ERA, I'm hoping, you know, that my guy is early in the lineup. But, I mean, I don't even think it matters. Really, as long as you get them through the third inning, you're going to get everyone to bat around the order once. So you're hoping the guys with the higher ERA are getting rocked tonight, you know, in the first three innings, four innings. Now, I did have a question for you. I know, picking on fantasy, and I know both you and I aren't big WNBAers, but hell, they were throwing free contests at us. I was like, oh, let me play it, see how it goes. And I don't know what the hell happened, because the last one I did, and I guess they're done with their freebies. I don't know if you've ever done this bad in any of these FanDuel games at all, Big Jack, but the last one, I drew a 7.8.
Did you finish last?
Let me double check. No, oddly, I'm actually in there. I'm 19,281 out of 37,918. So you figure almost, you know, what, another 8,000 people did worse than I did.
Yeah, I the last WNBA one we got was the 21st. I scored 147.8. That kind of where I was. The one before that, I was like 148.2. The first couple I really stunk at. It took me a little while to kind of figure out who was playing and, you know, who was that. I did get lucky one night. I racked up the best one I had was 175.4, but I didn't win anything. You know, I didn't come close to winning anything in any of those contests. So, but yeah, you know, that's, you know, it's funny because like I'll talk to like Mr. Fantasy off the air and I'll be like, oh yeah, hey, I sent you that link to that freebie. Did you play? He's like, no, I don't know anything about it. Dude, it's free. Who cares? You know, I mean, how many people know a lot about the WNBA? That's what I want to know. You know, I mean, is it that difficult to just go and, to, you know, randomly pick a lineup? I mean, who knows? You may win. So.
Yeah. I mean, I was going with who was starting and basically who I thought was going to score. And I mean, one of them I did score high on, you know, a player here and there. The one thing that confused me about this game, this team is a lot different than the NBA where starters will flat out just give you 0 points. I'm like, how did you not score?
Yeah. Yeah, that's always a difficult there when it comes to that. But yeah, you know, I don't know if we'll get more freebies or not. I mean, I can tell you, I won't be spending any money on any WNBA leagues because I'm just not that versed at it. You know, maybe, you know, I'll play some of the free ones and see if I can get the hang of it, or, you know, because like some of the names I know, you know, I remember them from, you know, just kind of hearing them as they go, or if they were really good college players, I remember the names, but, you know, I don't know enough about them to build a lineup around them or anything like that. I know I had Diana Taurasi in my lineup one night because I remember her being a great player, and I think she got me 4 points. So I go, okay.
Now, when the next big golf tournament happens, do you ever get into the golf fantasy?
Yeah, I played a couple of the freebies. It's a little more difficult to figure out, you know, because they break it down. You know, you pick guys for the first two rounds and then guys for the second two rounds. The problem is if like a guy you pick for the second two rounds doesn't make the cut, well then you got to eat zeros. So it's, yeah, you know, you got to be kind of careful there. I know they're. I saw on the site they're revamping it. I don't know what they're doing to it, but they're making some changes to it. So I'll be interested to see what it comes back like. But yeah, I've played a couple of them and haven't done fantastic. You know, maybe I should stop picking Tiger Woods. Oh. So, you know, I'm waiting for them to get in on NASCAR. You know, they've got everything else now.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll.
Mean, Yahoo has
You
figured out how
know.
to put that on the app.
Yeah, of all the things, you would think by now they would, you know, they would have it figured out. But yeah, it's still, even when you go in, you know, to do
Difficult.
anything on the NASCAR league, it's the old setting. I mean, and it's never been updated. I mean, it's literally the same thing it was, you know, 5 years ago or whatever when we started doing it. And it's just, it's nuts that it's so different than, you know, every other one.
Well, and I told you I couldn't even figure out how to sign up for it. And I'm pretty
Yeah.
good with figuring stuff out. And time ran out. I was like, I don't know. You're like, this is it. I'm like, I can't find it.
That's probably why we ended up with three guys in the league this year. So, you know, maybe, you know, maybe, well, maybe, you know, we'll have to email them and see if they, can get in there and get it updated like everything else. I mean, you know, they were, you know, already begging us to sign up for football and it's March. So,
Yeah, well, I mean, the one way email I don't think really works. You have to tweet to Yahoo, whatever, which they'll send you to the site where, forget what it's called. It's like a board, you know, a discussion board, and you know they make you
yeah.
sign in, and then you create a topic or you could search for a topic, like when I brought up, you know, the suspension thing. And I mean, from what I've seen with a lot of suggestions that people post, they just flat out shut you down. Yeah, we're not doing that at this time. Boom. It's like talking to Mr. Fantasy.
Yeah.
I mean, I was amazed that, you know, there was one other person who started the conversation and then I did my own. And you know, you had some jerks who were like, oh, why should you be, you know, why should they have a suspension thing for guys who cheat, beat their wives, and do this, that, whatever? Well, hey, jerk, number one, there's guys who get suspended for 10 days for hitting the guy. You know, I don't know. I just felt like some of these people take it way too over the top. And I mean, I don't know. Like with the World of Champion, I think that's what he was referring to at the time. Could have been Reyes. I mean, these guys weren't legally charged with anything. And if Yahoo is going to put that in as the description, then they should allow for that, or they should make it NA, or, you know, that's what I, and of course I got no response from the other one, but I haven't even looked back because it's more or less a BS when you try to suggest something, because like I said, they just shut you down. But I mean, if you're going to put in your Yahoo, you control it, and you put in suspended, you need to make a tab for it. Otherwise, the guy should be NA'd or, you know, even DL'd so that we can open up a spot to put him. You know, and someone's like, well, you shouldn't be able to save a guy like that. Why not? He does his time. He's still going to come back and play. You know, the judge, jury, and executioner, where it's almost like saying, well, he should be gone from the league for it. You can't use him in fantasy because he made a mistake. Once.
Yeah, I don't know if I could be as patient as you with that, so.
Well, no, I mean, I went in, like I said, I went in once, I checked it, and it was completely slammed, you know, slammed, the door was slammed in our face. I mean, not, I would really still consider it, you know, maybe it's something we'll look into in the next season. And I'm like, it's not just for next season, this is for all sports.
Yeah.
But, you know, the NFL can suspend a guy for wearing the wrong shoes, you know, same as the NBA. You know, God forbid you wear a headband that doesn't have the NBA logo on it, you're going to get fined, you know, kicked out of the stadium for a week. I don't know. No, I mean, I think it's kind of crap that Yahoo does that. They put the suspended on there, but you're stuck with this guy on your roster now without anywhere to put him.
Yeah, because you got to decide, well, you know, am I going to just sit him on my bench? Like, what you had to do with Chapman for, what was it, 30 days last year?
30 days.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know why they just don't make them NA like they do when they send the guy down to the minors. You know, and you can put the guy on, you know, the NA list. I mean, it's you know, very similar.
It's
so,
like
I don't know why. So, yeah, you know, I mean, who knows?
Let me ask you, though, when it comes to Major League Baseball, let's just stick with them. When a guy is suspended, I mean, they're no longer considered on the 25-man roster, are they?
No, they're allowed to replace them. They go on, you know, they have a suspended list just like, you know, football does. You know, except football, I think it's called like the commissioner's exempt list or something. Yeah, they go on their own special list, and I believe they're, you know, I think they might have to keep them on the 40-man roster, but they're replaced at the major league level.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I'm going to have to look through the rules, 2017 Major League Baseball rules, and then resubmit my request to Yahoo for the idiocracy. But, you know, kind of sticking with baseball, and here's a topic we've kind of discussed. I wouldn't say ad nauseum, but suspensions on PEDs. You know, I think it was Rick Sutcliffe who was on somewhere saying that I think he said they should be gone forever and never be able to play again, which I think is a little extreme. I'm good with the 60 days, but I mean, do you think, you know, someone brought up a great point that it, you know, I think it was actually Sutcliffe who brought up the point, you know, number one, they're cheating the game, and, you know, let's use Muggsy Cabrera as the number one reasoning behind this one. They're doing it to get a contract.
Yeah.
I mean,
and he admitted that.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you think it's in all fairness to just 162 them? I mean, I think it's to the point
where, you know,
60 days doesn't really defer or deter a guy.
Yeah, I heard some former major leaguer suggest 162, one entire year. He thought that would really clean up the problem. But, you know, the more you look at it, I mean, do they really have a problem? I mean, how many guys have failed tests recently?
Yeah, the same guys who keep
failing. You know, yeah, you know, I mean, you have to kind of wonder. I know, you know, there's a lot more guys in the minor leagues that failed than in the majors. So, you know, I mean, I'm not sold on it being a huge problem. I mean, you know, you're always going to get an idiot here or there who's going to, you know, try to scam the system and get caught. I mean, that's just what people do. You know, they, you know, be it if they want the big contract or if they're just looking to, you know, put up huge numbers and try to break a record or, you know, however, you know, whatever they're into, you know, you're always going to get that guy. But yeah, I don't think we have the problem, you know, or they have the problem that they used to when it was pretty clear that there were, you know, a majority of guys using something. But yeah, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have a problem if they decided to make the change and go to 162, but you know, like everything else, when it comes to this, baseball has a really strong union, and I don't know if they'll ever be able to get something like that through.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to have major support from all the guys.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, obviously the players who are clean are, you know, not going to give you any trouble at all. I mean, they're going to be behind it, you know, 110%. And, you know, like the one thing I'm a little surprised that nobody's kind of mentioned is, you know, I'm sure you've noticed, but Irvin Santana is off to a fantastic start with the Twins. You know, he was great again last night. You know, he served an 80-game suspension last year. And, you know, I mean, and odd, and I mean, I know it's probably wrong of me to do, but the first thing I wonder is, damn, he's really rolling. I wonder if he's been tested, you know, because now he's put that doubt in my mind where I don't see him as a great pitcher. I see him as a guy who needs help to be a great pitcher, you know, and I mean, maybe that's just the cynical me that, you know, is when it comes to these guys. But yeah, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, he's rolling along. Gee, I wonder if anybody's tested him. So.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess I didn't really notice that we don't have that, or there hasn't been that big of an issue with baseball lately. But I mean, I think if they were able, I don't know, is that something that comes with the collective bargaining? So they wouldn't. You know, if that's the case, they wouldn't be able to do anything about it for another 5 years. You know, in 5 years, maybe that's when they'll finally have the CBA out for, you know, for the rest of us to review. Because it's still not up yet. I'll have to double check later tonight or whatever on the Players Union website. But, I kind of see where he was coming from, and I think it would be a better deterrent. And, you know, maybe they adapt the California 3-strike-you're-out rule.
Yeah, well, you know, because if, you know, if you look at it, the only major league player suspended this year has been Starling Marte. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even when you look at last year's, the only real big name guy that got dinked was D. Gordon. And, you know, that was such an odd one as it was. You wonder why the hell D. Gordon was taken, you know, was it going to help his power numbers? So, and I was actually mistaken. It was 2015 when Irvin Santana got suspended. So, but yeah, you know, and there's, you know, there's the one guy with, the, you know, the one guy with the lifetime ban, you know, Jenry Mejia, the Mets blew 3 tests and he's got a lifetime ban. You know, your guy Marlon Byrd is serving 162-game suspension. He failed back in June of last year. I don't know, you know, his career was basically over anyways. I think he's pushing 40. So, yeah, I mean, there weren't, you know, again, you know, there's been one guy so far. So, you know, we'll have to kind of see maybe, you know, maybe it's getting better. you know, I mean, it's just, you know, but it is definitely something. I mean, obviously if it's a continuing problem, yeah, you know, you have to step in and maybe say, okay, well, we need to, you know, 80 games just isn't enough. And we, you know, we need to up the ante here. So, you know, and there, you know, there are ways to legally take stuff around the, you know, around the rules. You know, Chris Davis takes Adderall for a medical condition. Chris Davis of the Orioles, not of the A's. You know, so he takes something. I know even good old A-Rod had a medical waiver for something a few years back. I don't remember what he was taking, but, you know, they got a medical waiver. So you can do these things as long as you follow the right channels. Obviously, it needs to be a needed medical condition. You just can't take, you know, some kind of steroid because you want to hit home runs. But, you know, nice thought, I guess. I don't know.
That would be nice. I mean, if you take it, at the end of the day, take it, make it better for the game to get everyone out. I mean, you know, despite the fact that the DH is in, you know, I felt, even my wife, you know, granted, you know, she's not a lifelonger like us where, you know, I gave her a number, you know, we were halfway through the season, and I think Chris Bryant has, you know, 20 to 26 home runs. And I told her, I'm like, well, we got so many days left, so many games left for the year, and he's already at this number. What do you think he'll hit this year? And she said 52. I mean, do you think we'll get guys that are going to pop off numbers like that? You know, this was last season. But do you think we'll get guys who are going to hit numbers like that again?
No, I think there definitely are guys who are, you know, who are capable. I mean, you know, we're, you know, what are we? We're 45, 50 games in, and, you know, Mike Trout and Aaron Judge have 15. They lead baseball. So, you know, they're on pace for, what, 45 or 50, you know, if they can keep it up. Oh, Bryce Harper is right there. You know, you wonder if the other Chris Davis didn't play in Oakland. He does already have 14 home runs. You wonder if he wasn't playing in Oakland, what he would actually hit. You know, because if you can homer in that park, you can homer anywhere. So, yeah, you know, there are guys. You wonder, you know, the season will grind on you when you're playing all the time, and I think it's tough to keep up the pace. But, yeah, there's no reason we can't see guys get to 40 or 50. There's the talent out there.
Now, I mean, as far as the home runs go, I mean, you're looking at hitting a ball 350, 420 feet, you know, I think at the most. Do you think it's all strength? Because you said, you know, the two guys leading, Aaron Judge is pretty huge, just naturally. And I've seen Mike Trout's workouts, so, you know, he's a pretty, I mean, more than fit guy. You know, you'd almost put him in more of a bodybuilder as, you know, powerlifter kind of status. But, I mean, do you think it's all about strength?
No, you know, I mean, there's a lot that goes in with, you know, hitting a home run. I mean, obviously, you know, it's strength is part of it, but, you know, it's hand-eye coordination and, you know, being able to, you know, get the ball at the right part of the zone. And, you know, there's so much that just goes into hitting a baseball, let alone hitting a home run in baseball. So it's one of the aspects of it, but, you know, if it was just strength, every cleanup hitter would look like, you know, Mr. Universe. So, you know, he'd strike out 200 times, hit 70 home runs. So, but what is interesting here, I pulled up the stats to see who the home run leaders are. Do you know Trout is, just this is obviously right now, he leads the American League in average and home runs, and he's third in RBIs. Can he sustain the Triple Crown pace and, you know, be the runaway MVP choice that he already is?
Where does he bat? Does he still up in the order, or did they move him down?
No, he's normally, I want to say he's been hitting, do they play tonight? I can check and see if he's, he's in. For some reason, I thought he was hitting second. You know, they're under that theory of, you know, get your best guy in the two spot or whatever.
Yeah, well, I think that theory has come into play because, you know, like you said, the guy that could hit 70 home runs and strike out 200 plus times. And I mean, you know, just watching the youth develop here in Chicago, Javi Baez, Addison Russell, these guys strike out a whole hell of a lot. And it's more on just kind of smashing the ball as opposed to getting hits. So do you think that's the reason this new theory is coming to play, because they don't really care about getting hits anymore and getting guys on base?
You're just, you know, Trout is batting second tonight. So, you know, that's where he is. And Javi Baez is leading off, in case you don't know that. So, take
that. I thought it best was.
Yeah, you know, yeah, no, the Russell's hit seventh. You know, the game has changed so dramatically with these guys. I mean, I think with the exception of Billy Hamilton, there really isn't a true leadoff hitter in the game anymore because of the sabermetric breakdown that every team buys into what your leadoff man has to be or what your leadoff man should be. You know, like, it was funny because I was just having an email trade with Schomburg Stu, and we've been, you know, I've been discussing the Albert Almora thing because I really thought he was going to be given a fair shot to be the everyday center fielder. But it's very clear now that the Cubs aren't even interested in having him around, and this is something they want Ian Happ to do. You know, and Stu brought up the fact that Almora doesn't have any power. And, you know, my question was, well, why does every guy in your lineup need to have power? You know, can't you have a guy that gets on base, steals bases? I mean, you know, and is a great defender, which Almora is. He's a great defender. He's still learning how to hit at the major league level. But his glove definitely belongs here. So, you know, I mean, why is, you know, and that's how the game has turned. Everything has turned to, I want to see how many home runs I can hit, and I don't care about anything else. If I strike out 200 times, it doesn't matter as long as I hit home runs. And I just don't understand the mentality behind that, where making contact and putting balls in play is no longer good.
It makes no sense. I mean, and I'm not going to say, ooh, you know, I like the old way, and that's the way it should be forever. And, you know, it's not going to work for every team, but, like, with the guy, you have to be able to utilize the guys you have on your team correctly. And now it's just all about hitting home runs.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, it's the, you know, the oddest thing. I mean, we sat here and talked about, you know, how long was it going to take for the Cubs to finally realize Schwarber in the leadoff spot doesn't work. And, you know, it took 40 games, you know, four or more, before they actually figured it out. You know, we'll see if, you know, maybe he ends up back there when, you know, things kind of roll back to whatever, you know, they're going to do here. But I, you know, I don't, you know, I don't understand it. I mean, I would love for, you know, my second hitter to come up with a guy on base and, you know, an opportunity where a double drives him in. You know, I have no problem with that. You know, or maybe I get two guys on for my third hitter and he's got the opportunity to, you know, hit a 3-run bomb or maybe drive in a couple runs. You know, there just seems to be so many answers. And, you know, especially with the way they handle starting pitching now, man, I would love to have guys at my top of the order who could hit with two strikes and take pitches. You know, you could have a starting pitcher out in four innings with the way they handle them.
Yeah.
So
that's the thing. It's like the theory with having Kyle Schwarber up at first was, oh, well, he's only the leadoff hitter for the first inning. But then after that, you know, he could be the cleanup guy, and that's why we have the pitcher bat eight and you know, a guy who should technically be leading off the game to begin with, batting ninth.
That's the excuse you use when you know you're wrong. Anytime you hear somebody say, well, he's only the leadoff hitter in the first inning, that means they know they're wrong, and that's the excuse they're using to cover it up. I've heard that so many times, and that's all it is. It's just an excuse. The weird thing, why Joe Maddon and the Cubs, you know, baseball brass couldn't figure this out, if you can get somebody up ahead of Schwarber who gets on base, now they literally can't have a guy stand in short right field like they're playing softball, and all of a sudden the field opens up a little bit more for Schwarber because they can't overload everything as much with a runner on. Oh, look at that. The light bulb came on. But to start the game, obviously that guy can go stand out in short right field. And, you know, I mean, while Schwarber is a, you know, he's definitely an athlete. I mean, he's a Major League Baseball player. He's not going to lead the league in steals anytime soon. He's not going to beat those ground balls out to short right field. They're going to be ground outs. But with a man on, that guy has to play more honest because they have to keep the double play intact. All of a sudden, he's got a spot to hit to. Wow, look at that. Ask the guy who's never managed a Major League Baseball game why he shouldn't be in the leadoff spot. Ooh, how come I can figure it out and these guys are being paid millions of dollars and they can't?
Well, because I said he's going to lead off and that's what we're going
with. Right. You know, because I'm Joe Maddon and I won a World Series and he's going to lead off. And I am going to use the fact that I won a World Series to do whatever I want in this town for as long as I want. And I'm going to get away with it. So, you know, just kind of how it goes. But, you know, I mean, obviously it just doesn't go for Schwarber. I mean, it goes with anybody, you know, they shift on. And, you know, I've always been kind of baffled as to why these guys don't just take the pitch on the outside the other way. I mean, they're professional hitters. You know, they should know how to do that at this level. And, you know, there's just guys who kind of flat out refuse to do it. And they still try to pull that outside pitch and it's a weak ground ball and you're out. You know, I mean, take the slap single to left field every now and then, and maybe the shift eases up and you've got a, you know, you've got a hold to shoot, you know, the ball, pull the ball through. But I've given up with trying to understand what they're doing to baseball now.
The only one that I've actually seen really take to that was actually Rizzo. He's done it a handful of times.
Yeah, you know, there have been the guys, you know, like Rizzo would bunt. Remember David Ortiz even did it a couple times last year. He'd push the ball up the third base line. You know, because obviously, you know, it's not something you want them to do all the time because obviously they're big, huge power hitters and you don't want them bunting for base hits. But, yeah, I mean, imagine in a tie game, you know, it's the seventh inning or later or something and you just need a base runner. Well, there you go. He leads off the inning with a bunt single. You know, now he's on first base. You got a chance to win a game. So, you know, but yeah, like I said, I mean, I understand it's not something you want, you know, you want your guys doing every time he's up there. I mean, that would get a little ridiculous, obviously. So, but that's just what I do, what I argue about. So, but all right, Dan, I know I didn't get to watch much of it last night, but we do have a game 7 tomorrow in the NHL. Are you excited about it?
I think I made my pick though for over.
Yes.
So after it's over.
You know, I am wondering how the NHL is going to feel and the NBC Sports Network or NBC or whatever if they end up with an Ottawa Senators Nashville Predators Stanley Cup final. You know, because while obviously, you know, Nashville's been a great hockey city for the Predators, nationally, neither of these teams are really marquee. So I'm kind of wondering how, you know, I mean, obviously they would never tell you, but yeah, it would be interesting to know how they would feel if they ended up with that matchup. And in a way, it's almost making me root for Ottawa tomorrow.
It would be interesting. That's what I was thinking. It would be Predators, Ottawa.
Well, you know, and oddly, you know, if you remember, Nashville was the 8th seed in the Western Conference because they met the Blackhawks in the first round, who were number one. I believe Ottawa was the 7th seed in the East. So, again, you know, it's one of these weird NHL things where, you know, unlike the NBA where we're got, you know, the only seeds left are the top three from the conferences because the Cavs and the Celtics are still playing. You know, you can win it all in the NHL as an 8th seed. You know, you'll never see an 8th seed in the NBA win a championship. Never. But, you know, when it comes to the NHL, it's very possible. You know, I mean, the Kings did it a few years back. The Predators are going to have a shot to do it. You know, even if Ottawa gets there, if they were to win it as a 7th seed, you know, that's a huge accomplishment. I mean, these are things that, you know, because obviously they run parallel, and the NFL and the NFL, the NBA and the NHL. You know, I mean, you and I saw the NBA playoffs. Those lower seeded teams didn't stand a chance.
Nope.
You know, the Bulls put up a good front and then went out and lost four straight. So, you know, the Cavs and the Warriors didn't lose a game. You know, the Cavs didn't lose the game until game three against the Celtics, which they lost because LeBron was sick, Dan. That news came out today. Richard Jefferson released it that LeBron was ill that game. Probably shouldn't have been playing. But, yeah, you know, you get into the NHL and, you know, here. I mean, Pittsburgh wasn't even a number one seed. They were number two or three. Because I'm trying to remember if Columbus finished ahead of them or not. So, yeah, it's. You know, it's just this weird, you know, NHL scenario where, man, as long as you get in the playoffs, you got a shot.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is I just can't remember who won the Cup in 14. Because, you know, my wife asked me last night, she's like, well, what's the big deal with the Predators going? I'm like, oh, you know, the 8th seed is, you know, the worst of the best teams. To get to the Stanley Cup, and I go, well, the last team I did it was the Kings in 12. So I mean, it's a pretty big deal when these guys do it.
Yeah, no, 2014 was the Kings again.
Oh, it was the Kings. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so that was they won in 2012 and then 2014.
Who won in 11?
11 was the Bruins.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right. Blackhawks.
So.
Blackhawks.
All right. Well, the music means it's time for Dan and I to get out of here. But, hey, we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 live to do this all again. You know the deal, though, while we're gone. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out the new blog that went up this morning. While you're over there, link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. Jump on and follow the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you want to hunt us down. You know, we'll be there for you. As always, you know, it's a big thanks for listening live. Dan and I greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, you can go in and listen to the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.